actually take that home. It's actually not an addition to your life. It comes to crash the old system and bring in a new system, just like we have learned last week. So do join us today as we continue this story of this woman in John chapter 4. Listen as the Lord helps us to go further in this revelation.
Okay, thank you for that. Now, viewers all over the world, if you actually joined us on our last transmission, or you actually watched the video, or if you have not, I will probably enjoin you to actually have a quick look at the last transmission, because by the grace of God, that will be the springboard or the framework for today's transmission. Now, there was something we established in the last transmission, talking about the reason why Jesus had to appear to this woman, and the first impression was to show this woman as somebody that was thirsty. And we actually went into all that, the implication of that, the reason for that. But there's one part of that statement and that discourse that we've not addressed in John 4:7. Can you read that, please? John chapter 4, verse 7. What does it say?
There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink.
Now, we need to find out what exactly Jesus wanted to drink from this woman. Because if the Lord Jesus asked this woman to give me to what?
To drink.
We need to know what is the content of that drink.
And what does she have to offer?
What drink does she have to offer that Jesus was willing to ask her to release to him? We need to know what that drink is. And the reason we need to find out is not because we are trying to do an exercise in theological arguments or theological expositions. That's not our concern. Our concern is we need to know the content of that drink that can only come from this woman unto Jesus for ourselves. The implication of that for you as a believer in the now. That's what we're interested to find out. What is the composition of this drink? What is it that Jesus wanted to take from this woman? You know why this question becomes critical? Because in the last transmission, we already established that this woman has nothing of value
to offer.
I mean, we've looked at her in different demographics. We've looked at her social status in the society. We've looked at her moral status. I mean, she doesn't have a good moral record, as you might understand. This is a very familiar story. In terms of gender, the kind of gender she belongs to, being a woman at that time in history, they were a voiceless gender. You were nothing to reckon with a woman in that type of culture at that time. So if you look at it, you probably think there is nothing of significant value this woman has to offer. But we're wondering, what then does Jesus want from this woman? What does he want to drink from this woman? It sounds to me that Jesus was offering a cup to this woman and said, just give me to drink. And what is that drink? That's what we need to find out by the grace of God.
Yeah, it must actually be a drink worth waiting for Jesus to really come and sit down waiting for this woman, because he was there before her.
Wow.
And then Jesus made a choice to, he did not come to show himself as a judge, a ruler, a king, and in the high horses. Really, he was able to identify with the Lord. So it really must be something worth giving up for and not coming out. You want to bring your best out, you know, you want to show yourself first impression now. You don't want to come out as down and out when you really are more than that. So, and for Jesus to really be able to strike a conversation to get the attention of this woman, possibly to be able to get something out of it, you know, you have to, he has to come to a level. So this must be a drink worth waiting for. I'm hearing in your amusement,
but
they wanted to unravel the mystery of these things.
What's
the recipe?
Do you know one thing about this drink? Is that it would seem that anytime Jesus approaches anyone, anytime you present Christ to any man upon the face of the earth, it would seem that this is actually going to be the very first thing that Christ is actually making a demand from anyone. Because even when this woman went to the town towards the end of the story, when she invited other people to come to what? To Jesus. It wasn't just about this woman. It's about the fact that through this woman, others were going to come to Christ. So this is not just a question that Christ was posing to this woman. So not a demand to this woman alone, but a demand to everyone who is as lost, who is in a situation like this woman. Follow us quickly as we find out the chemical or the spiritual or the psychological or spiritual composition of a drink that has to come from this woman to Jesus. Jesus is thirsty for this. Now we need to find out one thing. Is this the very first time? Is this the same, very first situation in the scriptures that Christ was thirsty for something that he wanted to drink. Now follow us quickly as we find out what this drink is that only could come from a lost person. Somebody who was desperate, who was down, who is of no substance. Somebody who is living under the weight and the power of the enemy. What is it? Now follow us quickly to Matthew chapter 20 verse 22 and see instances and circumstances in the scripture where Jesus was demanding to drink, where Jesus was thirsty, where he wanted to drink. Can you read that, please? Matthew 20, verse 22. Let's see what the scripture...
But Jesus answered and said,
good.
Ye don't know what he hast.
Mm.
Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of?
Now, it means we've seen an indication in the gospel where Jesus was talking about drinking something. So it is not just only in John 4, 7 that Jesus ever mentioned the first time he was going to drink something, that he wanted to drink something. We now see in Matthew 20, 22 that Jesus also made reference to wanting to drink from a cup. Can you see that? Now, can you go on reading, please?
Verse 23.
Go on.
And he said unto them,
good.
Ye shall drink indeed of my cup.
Okay.
And be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with.
Aha. So we see the connection there, that Jesus said, this drinking that I'm going to drink from is actually what? A baptism. I'll be what? Baptized what? With. And then, I mean, you don't have to go through too much scripture to understand the fact that the Bible says that we'd have been baptized into the death of what? Of Christ. The baptism talking about you going what? Down into death and coming back into resurrection. So Jesus in the same sentence said the drinking of this cup is in the same vein as what? The kind of baptism I'll be what? Baptized with. And then it means he was talking about anytime Jesus made reference to his what? Baptism. He was talking about his death. Now quickly again, go to Matthew chapter 26, I suppose. Matthew 26. Matthew 26, you can read, talking about, there's a place there which talks about the same drinking.
Okay, and he took the cup. Verse 27.
Not that one. I mean, if you, well, you can read verse 27, that's fine.
And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it.
Okay, what is it? Go on, please.
Verse 28, for this is my blood of the New Testament.
Okay.
Which is shed for many for the remission of sin.
For the remission of sin. I mean, he used the cup. He talked about the fact that the drinking from this cup is going to be like the shedding of my what? My blood. Again, we then see the cup again, the drinking is connected to the shedding of the blood, to the dying of Christ, to the baptism of Christ. We can see that connection. Again, quickly, let's see other scriptures. Now, we're going to read some few scriptures. I want to show you a consistency of the word of God when it comes to drinking of this cup. Can you go quickly to Jeremiah 25, 15? I'm going to go to the Old Testament. Anytime we're talking about the drinking from this cup, what does it signify? Jeremiah 25, 15. We'll read some few verses and come all the way back to where Jesus wanted to drink from this woman. Jeremiah 25, 15. What does it say, please?
It reads.
Yes, please.
For thus said the Lord God of Israel unto me.
Okay.
Take the wine cup of this fury at my hand.
Okay.
And cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it.
Well, God talks about the wine of his anger. Is that okay? The cup, the wine of his anger. Again, Isaiah 51:17. We're going to read some few verses. And then we tidy things up. Isaiah 51:17. What does that say again? Isaiah chapter 51, verse 17.
It reads, awake, awake.
Mm.
Stand up, O Jerusalem.
Okay.
Which has drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury.
Okay, again, the cup of his anger. He actually did signify that. Now let's go. Now you can see that. Anytime it talks about the drink, the cup, it's about the anger of God. God's anger and judgment against something. That's what the cup signifies and the drink in that. Now, if you go quickly to Revelation 14, again, this is the New Testament, then Revelation chapter 14, verse 9. Tell what does that say, please?
It reads.
What does that say?
And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice,
good.
If any man worship the beast and his image,
okay.
And receive his mark in his forehead,
okay.
Or in his hand,
good.
The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God.
Again, now we've seen the Old Testament. Now we've seen the New Testament of Revelation. It talks about this drink. This cup is going to pour out a drink. And that's what God's anger, God's wrath, God's judgment against what sin. Now have you noticed that Jesus, when he got to the point of consecration, when he was getting close to going to the cross, he made one statement. He said, "My Father, let this cup pass over me, but not as I will, but yours or your will be done." Because Jesus knew all through his ministry, there was a cup to drink. There's a cup to drink from. And without mincing words, through so many scriptures, he knew that this cup is the cup of suffering. And that's why you have James and John, when their mother brought them, they said they want to sit at the right and the left of Jesus. Jesus said, "Are they able to drink from the same cup I would drink from?" And we know he was talking about, can they go through the type of suffering, the type of condition, the circumstance, the baptism, the death of Christ. So the only drink that Jesus was looking for to drink before the cross was the cup of baptism, the cup of his suffering and death. So when he saw this woman in John 4, 7, he said, "Woman, you've got something charitable. You've got something worthy of death. You've got something. The God's anger against sin is upon you at the moment. And that's why I came to drink of this cup. Give me to drink. Let me take that off you. This is why I came." I mean, he said that I must drink of this cup. Give me to drink. I'm going to take that off you. Because that's I've come to drink the cup of suffering. So he met this woman, and Jesus said, "I want to suck something
out of
you. That's my mission. That's why I came. I want to suck it out. I want to drink it. I present my cup, and I want to take it out of you." This is the reason why Jesus told that woman, "Give me to drink." Now I want us to read some few scriptures and begin to draw some implication for you as a believer. You mentioned one thing in the last transmission. You said some people can dwell so much on the poverty and the death of Christ that they forget to dwell on the resurrection and the glory of Christ. And I did say one thing, that
some can do the other side.
That's right. But you see, we need to understand the reason why Jesus first presented himself as someone who has come to take the drink from this woman, as somebody who has come to drink the cup of suffering, the cup of death. I mean, he has come to suck it on himself. And it has an implication for him making that kind of decision. Now let's read some things and draw implication for that. Now look at Isaiah chapter 53. I'm still investigating, by the grace of God, this particular request of Jesus to this woman. Isaiah chapter 53. This is a scripture that talks to us about the ministry of Christ Jesus.
That's what
you can read from verse 5. Isaiah chapter 53.
Verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgression.
Christ was wounded for our transgressions.
He was bruised for our iniquities.
Good.
The chastisement of our peace was upon him.
The chastisement of our peace was upon him.
And with his stripes we are healed.
Go on, please.
All we like sheep have gone astray.
Now watch that. All we, now you and I inclusive, have gone what?
Astray.
Astray. Okay.
We have turned everyone to his own way.
Okay.
And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all.
He said, the Lord took something that belongs to us. Now, this thing never belonged to Christ. We were the one that have gone astray. We were the one that have gone into our own ways. Not him. Because the voice that came to Jesus, even when he came out of River Jordan, he said, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." He had a perfect record with the Father. Everything was fine with him. He wasn't a thirsty soul. He wasn't a desperate soul. He wasn't a useless soul. The Father said, "He is my beloved son in whom I'm what? Well pleased." But what does he say? He said, "But God has laid." Now, this didn't belong to him. I mean, the Father is going to give to the Son. He's going to lay upon Jesus what doesn't belong to him. That's why Jesus came to that woman. "Give me to drink. Give me, I'm going to take it off you." So he said, the Father has laid upon what? Him. The what? the iniquity now of all of us. So it means Jesus now is going to take upon himself what doesn't belong to him. So it is in that understanding he approached this woman and said, give me.
It's a drink.
It's not mine. The anger against sin is on you, not me. But I'm going to bring out my cup and say, give it what? To me. Give me to drink. So he says, the Father has laid upon him the what? The iniquity. I mean, iniquity, the sin nature, the value, the desperation, the darkness, the corruption, the pollution, the condition, the circumstance of fallen man. He said, God has laid upon him the iniquity of us. That's what Jesus' mission was. And that's the presentation he made to this woman for the very first discourse they had together. He said, give it to me. I've come to take, that's the reason why I came, to take this off you. It's not mine, it's your drink. It's not my drink. You're the one drinking this dirty, polluted, corrupted nature. It's yours, but give it to me. That's what we see Christ. And that's the very basics of the gospel. Give it to me. I know it's yours, but I'm going to take it off you. So the Father laid upon him the what? The iniquity of us all. And that's what we see there. And that's the presentation he made to this woman. But you know one thing? The reason why this is important is, so when we see Christ dying on the cross, we then understand that it's not about him. He took something off us. Something was laid on him that belonged to us. Something was laid on Christ that belonged to that woman in John chapter 4. So he drank something that belonged to her. Now, you see, the reason...
Well, okay,
yeah, you want to see one thing?
Well, while we're going about on this Isaiah, Jeremiah, Revelation, yeah, talking about drink and the wrath of God and this,
exactly.
I was just wondering, how do we tie to this woman looking at John chapter 4 and... Now it's beginning to make sense. Like there's something they drink that these women have, because there's no point of any exchange or exchange of contract if there's nothing from somebody that has something. You don't come to exchange for something you already have unless you want to have more of it. So Jesus was at the table now to take what he did not have. And it's understandable why Jesus would not have that kind of drink.
No, he didn't have the same nature, isn't it?
He
that knew no sin.
So it's something he can never have unless he got this escape from this woman.
God bless you for that.
That is something, and that is something, no matter what, as they come on the table, you just have to get this, you know. If there's sometimes you come on the business table, you come on business deal, and you know they're so offer, you just, no matter how they deal, whether you like it or not, you know, there's no way going about it. You can't have this elsewhere.
Okay.
You can't, because you just have to get it for the deal. So even whether it was a bad deal, like not too good, well, you know, there's no other way of getting it. There's no other way you could get this drink, this kind of drink that this kind of woman, this type of woman offers. And it's like, if you look at the story, I'm sure we're going to go further in this and understand and look at the life of this woman. We'll find out that, yeah, she surely has a drink that Christ needs, that is so quite strange to the life of Christ, that what he's used to. So we can
that
understand
Christ
that he has something... as a head, something so different. As is it that unique selling point or something like that? You know, that is the kind of the product that this woman has, and we can understand that kind of drink, the unbridled passion. You see, this woman has something, and it's good for us to look at this because sometimes people look at people that are down and out and feel like, oh, there's nothing about them completely. So this woman was down and out, and morally was nobody. And not somebody that can be used as a role model. I'm sure in Samaria, nobody could look at her as a role model, even for the race and for the position as a woman. Nobody could do that. But yet, we could see something about her. There's something still desirable in her. So some people, the way they talk and even minister to people that they even consider done and out, because everybody's done and out. Anyway, we are all, we have all gone astray. Even if you are in a monastery or something, or you are in such a conclave or community of moral standard, and some people say the society they have, no matter what, on the morality and corruption index and everything, we are all gone astray. Each of us, and that includes everyone.
Thank you for making that insight. For bringing that insight. Do you know one thing why some people think they're not as bad as other people? The reason they do that because they compare themselves to other people. They say, well, at least I'm not like, you know, that man that was praying in the temple. When the parable of Jesus, it said, a man came to the temple and said, thank God, I'm not like the other. This is the foundation of people's goodness. Yeah. When they say they are good, the reason they say they are good is because they think about their neighbor, they think about their friends, they think about their colleague at work, and they say, I don't think I'm a bad person, but it's based on comparison. But this is the bad news or the good news, depending on who you are. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short, not of the glory of your friend.
Yeah.
All have sinned and come short, not of the glory of your family. Romans chapter 3. All have sinned and come short, not by comparing yourself to your neighborhood. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
The glory of God is the standard.
Sad to say that the glory of God, which is Jesus personified, because the Bible says he is the fullness of the glory of the Father. That's Jesus Christ. He is the standard. The standard. So
the standard.
God would never compare you to your friends, to your family, or to your neighbors.
Nation.
So he's going to compare you to the glory of God, which the scripture says is Jesus Christ. So when compared to Jesus, where do you stand? Now that's the point. If that's the case, then Isaiah chapter 53 makes sense. All we like sheep have gone astray.
Yes, in continuation of what I was sharing before. Mm. And some people, when they approach people like that, they say they feel like there's nothing desirable, they talk them down again.
Okay.
Using their situations and using it that there's nothing about you anyway to aspire to, and they talk them down and press them down. The more, even a bit of even addressing them, the bit of ministering to them, people demonize people in the way of ministering to them. But we still find that despite this, there's something desirable. And we find the way how Jesus elevates. I've said it before, I will say it again and again until we all hear this and understand this. So that's the way Jesus always elevates the underdogs. You know, people are talking about, I don't know, whatsoever you feel like. There's no freedom fighter like Christ. Because that is vague. That is it. We brought freedom for everyone. Like you see, he elevates womanhood. He elevates this woman.
Good.
And we can see how Jesus could see in this woman there's something desirable from you. We see him. They have something. These are people that when we look at them, we feel like there's nothing. We want to run the other way. There's nothing to take from them.
But you know what? Let me say this. I think you're using the word, and I think we need to actually look at that word and make sure it matches what we're looking at on this Bucket Ministry series. Maybe what we should be talking about really is the fact that the more polluted, corrupted, or the more the level of darkness
or decadence,
that's exactly what attracts Christ. Maybe we should put it that way, because actually, Jesus said, give me to drink, and then we are looking at the drink. It's a dirty one. It's a polluted one. It's a corrupted one. So what actually attracted Christ?
I'm just thinking Jesus was looking at the bundle of passion. It takes a level of passion for you to go from one man to another man to another man. We have to think about that. It's a debt.
We're going to come to that.
It's a debt. You know, some people will never be of much good because they are not much of evil anyway in the first. It takes some passion. Yes, to be evil. There's some people that can do things. So I want to see this is a very special woman. You know, it's a very special woman. We can even see the effect. Then straight away, when he met Jesus and the encounter and the revelation, we can see how he went about. This is a woman that converted. It takes that a passionate woman like that. So Jesus saw a bundle of energy that can be turned to a very good use. And that is why we have to open our eyes and see people the way God sees them.
Okay.
No matter the situation and no matter where they are, we can begin to see like Jesus saw this woman, see with the eyes of Jesus.
Okay.
So this woman was not just, Jesus was not looking at this woman as just a story of somebody so confused, moving. Fine, it looks like that. But yet, with this passion and energy, this one can run with the mission. And that is what I'm talking about.
Thank you for that. Now, so then we can put it this way, that the deeper the decadence, the deeper the corruption, the deeper the extent of the sin nature that has bound people, Jesus is saying, well, that's the reason why the Father brought me to the scene, so that the iniquity of us all can be laid on him. That's what he's looking for. That's the cup he's been looking to drink from. That's what he's asking everyone to know, that I've come to be the one to drink off everyone. I'm going to drink off everyone. I'm going to take it off everyone. That's my mission. So there's no amount of darkness that can scare Christ away. There's no amount of polluted water, if that's the word. There's no amount of no degree of darkness that scares him away. That's exactly why he came. In fact, he told them, you know, when he healed the man that was born blind, he said, that's the reason why I've come, so that those that claim to see can become blind, and those who were blind can see. I came to drink. I came to take the drink off you. So it doesn't matter the situation, the confusion, the darkness, the pollution, the perversion that is at work in anyone's life, that is at work in any situation or neighborhood or people or a generation of people. Jesus said, that's why I came, to drink that cup. And that's why when he met the woman, he said, give me to drink. And in fact, the only people that would have the problem with Jesus and his ministry of Christ are those that claim they don't have such water. They don't have such dirty water. They don't have such pollution.
There must be an exchange anyway.
We know for sure that the water from this woman wasn't clean. So Jesus was asking for something dangerous. He was asking for something terrible. But he said, yes, I'm willing to drink this cup. He told the Father in the place of prayer. He said, if you can't take this cup from me, I'm going to drink it. And he did drink it. So he asked the woman, give me to drink. And that's what we see of Christ Jesus. So it means there's no point pretending or being hypocritical before the Lord. There's no point you trying to put up a front before the Lord. There's no point trying to hide who you are and how you feel before the Lord. That's why he came anyway. He came to drink. He came to take that cup. He came to take it off you. He knew the kind of water you were producing, but he came to drink it anyway. So give me to drink. Now, we began to unveil now what that water really is.
Yeah, it's good that you mentioned that people should get off this hypocrisy.
No, there's no need. That's what it came.
I hold, in which from people are feeling there's nothing bad to exchange. They have nothing to exchange. Ah. Anyway, they are good on their own. And we see the mission of Jesus is just have to take something off that he cannot make himself. And that is the thing that he, because of his nature, he doesn't have your kind of water. So it's good to come to the open. It's good to not be ashamed. It's good to come to take benefit of a Savior like no other. He's actually waiting to take this off you. And so are you like that woman of Samaria who has something, you have this load, you don't even know how to make sense out of it. You cannot even interpret what is happening in your life. You don't, the burden from generation to generation you've been carrying, just like this woman was on the cyst with the cyst man. So I don't know whether it's an intergenerational load and burden based on some experiences. You don't even know what to make out of it. You're confused. This is a drink. I just want you to understand it is a drink.
Just give it.
It is a drink. And we are telling you today there's somebody that is interested in that drink.
Yeah.
Right, that is it. You might be thinking, who will want this kind of thing? Maybe you have bored people down with this kind of your story. You know, imagine this woman talking to some people. Maybe has gone to see some psychologist and has bored. Oh, again, are you going to talk about Mr. A? They've listened to the story of Mr. A from, he's talking about Mr. B today, C, and he doesn't even know. It seems there's no end to that kind of story. And nobody could really help for that because it's long. It's like a long, winding story, you know. And it seems there's no end in sight. Because even Jesus was telling the sixth man, he's not the end. You're not there yet. And that is the thing. So if you're in that kind of situation, if you identify yourself like that kind of woman, in which everybody should. But we want to tell you that there is a Savior that is interested in that kind of thing. That is, he specializes in trading, with that.
He wants that kind of drink.
So he specializes in trades. Of your kind, of what you have to offer, and that is good. Just like you are meeting an investor who wants what you don't even want, what you can't make any sense out of, and he's ready to take it off you. And that is encouraging, and that is what I want you to take out from today's transmission. You have something to offer. You have a drink. And somebody is ever willing to pay the highest price for that. That is the thing. Is willing to pay the highest price for that your drink, that the undesirable lot that you are carrying. And that is why he said in the book of Matthew, come unto me, all ye that are labor and heaven laden. So that is the people that will not be able to come, as your earlier suggested, was that people that don't even know, they don't have any load to take off. So we need to come to the Lord.
Amen. Thank you for that. Now let's begin to say the reason why that type of drink is very corrosive. That type of drink is killing. That type of drink spells hopelessness. That type of drink spells uselessness. I mean, the reason we're saying this, look at the Deuteronomy situation of the thing in Deuteronomy that Moses did say to them. We mentioned this in a bit, last transmission, but it's a good point for us to use that as a framework to connect to the next few verses we're going to read on this today's transmission. You know, the son that is...
I was just thinking because of the time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fine. So we will carry on from there in our next transmission.
Well, we just want to encourage the people to know that there is a drink coming from them, and there is a Savior that is willing to pay the highest price for it. So there's something to give to the Savior, give him to drink. He's asking from, give me to drink. Mm-hmm. And so he's approaching you as he approached that woman of Samaria today and say, give me, give it off.
Mm.
Let me offload this guilt. Let me offload this body. Let me offload this equation that you don't even understand. You can't make sense out of it.
Mm.
You've spent money. You've talked to people. You have been a victim and be a regular contact for those people, counselors and all the kinds. And you don't even have a solution in sight. And you don't even know what. Are you going to the sixth or seventh man? It doesn't have to be a man like that. You know, you're going to the seventh provider, sixth provider, but there is a Savior that is much more interested. And if you are taking anything out today, remember, you have something to offer, and the undesirable body, Christ is ready to take it up for you. So we want to invite you again for our next transmission where we continue this story. You can see there's so much about this woman, so much to learn, and we want to put ourselves in that picture of that woman so we can get all the lessons and the blessings and the revelation for it. So if these blessings you would like you to maybe send in an encouraging word or let us know, or that further revelation as the Lord is ministering to you through this verse, we are hoping to receive them. And should you have any questions or any comments or anything that needs clarification, we are much more open to receive that. And we hope you are praying for us as we are praying for you, that this word will find, will grow in you.
Amen.
And will take root.
Amen.
So do share it, share it around. It's a good thing to share around. So till we'll see you next time we are on set, we want to say, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord,
so walk in it. God bless you. Bye.
Well, this is Exposé 247, and we would like you to join us for another moment of revelation. Please do well and invite all your contacts to listen to this. I'm sure you were blessed with the last one that we shared about saying gospel is not a top-up plan. I hope you actually take that home. It's actually not an addition to your life. It comes to crush the old system and bring in a new system,
complete,
just like we have learned last week. So do join us today as we continue this story of this woman in John chapter 4. Listen as the Lord helps us to go further in this revelation.
Okay, thank you for that. Now, viewers all over the world, if you actually joined us on our last transmission, or you actually watched the video, or if you have not, I will probably enjoin you to actually have a quick look at the last transmission, because by the grace of God, that will be the springboard or the framework for today's transmission. Now, there was something we established in the last transmission, talking about the reason why Jesus had to appear to this woman, and the first impression was to show this woman as somebody that was thirsty. And we actually went into all that, the implication of that, the reason for that. But there's one part of that statement and that discourse that we've not addressed in John 4:7. Can you read that, please? John chapter 4, verse 7. What does it say?
There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink.
Now, we need to find out what exactly Jesus wanted to drink from this woman. Because if the Lord Jesus asked this woman to give me to what?
To drink.
We need to know what is the content of that drink.
What does she have to offer?
What drink does she have to offer that Jesus was willing to ask her to release to him? We need to know what that drink is. And the reason we need to find out is not because we are trying to do an exercise in theological arguments or theological expositions. That's not our concern. Our concern is we need to know the content of that drink that can only come from this woman unto Jesus. For ourselves, the implication of that for you as a believer in the now, that's what we're interested to find out. What is the composition of this drink? What is it that Jesus wanted to take from this woman? You know why this question becomes critical? Because in the last transmission, we already established that this woman has nothing of value
to offer.
I mean, we've looked at her in different